Good evening again, everyone. We pulled a fast one on you there. It's unusual to come into this concert hall and not have the orchestra assembled on stage. I'm sure you were thinking, wait, what's happening? Are they going to rush the stage at the last moment? And in fact, once we have chairs and, you know, we've got Thomas here and Bob. Let's hear it from Thomas and Bob. So let me take a moment and just welcome you all. Our woodwind section, and in this case, the French horns become part of the woodwind section, as does our principal bass, Aaron. We are so fortunate to have such depth and talent in this section of our orchestra in particular, and it is a delight to showcase them in this way with that beautiful piece, which, by the way, was first performed in my backyard in 2020, when we couldn't go anywhere or do anything indoors. So we much prefer playing it in here for all of you. Strauss was only 17 when he wrote that perfect little miniature gem. For me, it sounds like a combination of Richard Strauss in the future and Mozart. It feels very much like a concert aria, like there's a soprano voice singing somewhere in there throughout. But I find it so touching to be involved in that piece and to know that at such a young age a composer can have such personality in their music. He later thought it was kind of like a student work. Well, sorry, Richard, I put you on the map, and it's a beautiful piece. And a beautiful way to segue into the heart of the first half of our concert, these really beautiful songs of Lori Lightman, who unfortunately is not able to be here with us tonight, but has been texting me all day, and Chad as well. And she's got another engagement and another performance. But this is, in fact, the second performance ever of this song cycle in this form for tenor and orchestra. And of course, she is setting the text of our own former poet laureate, Dana Gioia, who also was in charge of the NEA and is just, I'm sure many of you are familiar with his extraordinary words. The poetry itself has become an earworm in my mind. I find myself unable to separate from these words and their meaning, even before the music is connected to that constant thought. But what's especially beautiful about these songs, obviously they touch on themes, if you've read the poems, they touch on themes of love and human connection and relationships and loss of extraordinary grieving kinds, and then kind of a rebirth through the grounding we all have in nature and understanding how we fit into that whole tapestry of living things. And that suffering is a universal experience, and loving and joy and recovery is a universal experience. And what is so exquisite about the music is that Lori, she seems to know how to write for a human voice intuitively. And every melodic line you hear, every rhythm inside of every melody is generated by the natural flow and of the spoken word. The way you would say it to yourself is how the rhythm unfolds. And from the rhythm of the language of the poetry comes the melodies. Then those melodies are handed off into various strands of orchestration and continuous thematic connections between ideas in each of the poems. And what is so beautiful about that is that it's innate, it's natural. Every flowing phrase, it feels the way you would want to speak it. And singing at its best, is not significantly different than speech. The emotion of the text, for me, is rooted in the way the harmonies change in just certain points. And she understands our own oral imagination, the way the human ear, the inner ear, takes in music, her harmonies and her music.
language is a natural fit. So without further, oh, you're here. Marvelous. Well, this is the part where I leave again and come back because I don't want to leave Chad all alone. But I really hope you enjoy. We've so enjoyed preparing these songs. I hope you enjoy hearing them.